If you intend using humor in your talk to make people smile, you must know how to identify shared experiences and problems. Your humor must be relevant to the audience and should help to show them that you are one of them or that you understand their situation and are in sympathy with their point of view. Depending on whom you are addressing, the problems will be different. If you are talking to a group of managers, you may refer to the disorganized methods of their secretaries. Alternatively, if you are addressing secretaries, you may want to comment on their disorganized bosses. Here is an example which I heard at a nurses' convention of a story which works well because the audience all shared the same view of doctors. A man arrives in heaven and is being shown around by St. Peter. He sees wonderful accommodations, beautiful gardens, sunny weather, and so on. Everyone is very peaceful, polite, and friendly, until, waiting in a line for lunch, the new arrival is suddenly pushed aside by a man in a white coat, who rushes to the head of the line, grabs his food, and stomps over to a table by himself. "Who is that?" the new arrival asks St. Peter. "Oh, that's God," came the reply, "but sometimes he thinks he's a doctor." If you are part of a group which you are addressing, you will be in a position to know the experiences and problems which are common to all of you, and it'll be appropriate for you to make a passing remark about the inedible canteen food or the chairman's notorious bad taste in ties. With other audiences, you mustn't attempt to cut in with humor, as they will resent an outsider making disparaging remarks about their canteen or their chairman. You'll be on safer ground if you stick to scapegoats like the post office or the telephone system. If you feel awkward being humorous, you must practice so that it becomes more natural. Include a few casual and apparently off-the-cuff remarks which you can deliver in a relaxed and unforced manner. Often it's the delivery which causes the audience to smile, so speak slowly and remember that a raised eyebrow or an unbelieving look may help to show that you are making a light-hearted remark. Look for the humor. It often comes from the unexpected, a twist on a familiar quote. If at first you don't succeed, give up, or a play on words or on a situation. Search for exaggeration and understatements. Look at your talk and pick out a few words or sentences which you can turn about and inject with humor. Lesson 5. Vocabulary. Devise. Cunning. Confer. Rhythm. Robot. Assembly. Terminal. Subway. Accuracy. Precision. Utility. Pose. Interact.
Indeed.
Artificial. Initial. Transistor. Forecast. Talent. Complicated. Panel. Fraction. Glimpse. Disregard. Instantaneous. Focus. Winding. Ingenuity. Gizmo. Hum. Optimism. Neuroscientist.
Passage. Since the dawn of human ingenuity, people have devised ever more cunning tools to cope with work that is dangerous, boring, burdensome, or just plain nasty. That compulsion has resulted in robotics, the science of conferring various human capabilities on machines. And if scientists have yet to create the mechanical version of science fiction, they have begun to come close. As a result, the modern world is increasingly populated by intelligent gizmos, whose presence we barely notice, but whose universal existence have removed much human labor. Our factories hum to the rhythm of robot assembly arms. Our banking is done at automated teller terminals that thank us with mechanical politeness for the transaction. Our subway trains are controlled by tireless robot drivers. And thanks to the continual miniaturization of electronics and micromechanics, There are already robot systems that can perform some kinds of brain and bone surgery with sub-millimeter accuracy, far greater precision than highly skilled physicians can achieve with their hands alone. But if robots are to teach the next stage of labor-saving utility, they will have to operate with less human supervision and be able to make at least a few decisions for themselves, goals that pose a real challenge. While we know how to tell a robot how to handle a specific error, says Dave Lavery, manager of a robotics program at NASA, we can't yet give a robot enough common sense to reliably interact with a dynamic world. Indeed, the quest for true artificial intelligence has produced very mixed results. Despite a spell of initial optimism in the 1960s and 1970s, when it appeared that transistor circuits and microprocessors might be able to copy the action of the human brain by the year 2010, researchers lately have begun to extend that forecast by decades, if not centuries. What they found in attempting to model thought is that the human brain's roughly 100 billion nerve cells are much more talented and human perception far more complicated than previously imagined. They have built robots that can recognize the error of a machine panel by a fraction of a millimeter in a controlled factory environment. But the human mind can glimpse a rapidly changing scene and immediately disregard the 98% that is irrelevant, instantaneously focusing on the monkey at the side of a winding forest road or the single suspicious face in a big crowd. The most advanced computer systems on Earth can't approach that kind of ability, and neuroscientists still don't know quite how we do it. Vocabulary, decline, barrel, triple, global, doom, suspend, strengthen, grip, hemisphere, severe, petrol, retail, mute, dependent, sensitive, swing, conservation, intensive, consumption, mobile, constant, estimate, outlook, emerge, squeeze, commodity, index, scary, quadruple, sizable, passage.
Could the bad old days of economic decline be about to return? Since OPEC agreed to supply cuts in March, the price of crude oil has jumped to almost $26 a barrel, up from less than $10 last December. This near tripling of oil prices calls up scary memories of the 1973 oil shock when prices quadrupled. In 1979 to 80, when they almost tripled. Both previous shocks resulted in double-digit inflation and global economic decline. So where are the headlines warning of the gloom and doom this time? The oil price was given another push up this week when Iraq suspended oil exports, strengthening economic growth at the same time as winter grips the northern hemisphere could push the price higher still in the short term. Yet there are good reasons to expect the economic consequences now to be less severe than in the 1970s. In most countries, the cost of crude oil now accounts for a smaller share of the price of petrol than it did in the 1970s. In Europe, taxes account for up to 4/5 of the retail price. So even quite big changes in the price of crude have a more muted effect on pump prices than in the past. Rich economies are also less dependent on oil than they were, and so less sensitive to swings in the oil price. Energy conservation, a shift to other fuels, and a decline in the importance of heavy energy-intensive industries have reduced oil consumption. Software, consultancy, and mobile telephones use far less oil than steel or car production. For each dollar of GDP in constant prices, rich economies now use nearly 50% less oil than in 1973. The OECD estimates in the latest economic outlook that its oil prices averaged $22 a barrel for a full year, compared with $13 a barrel in 1998. This would increase the oil import bill in rich economies by only 0.25 to 0.5% of GDP. That is less than other quarter of the income lost in 1974 or 1980. On the other hand, oil importing emerging companies to which heavy industry has shifted have become more energy intensive and so could be more seriously squeezed. One more reason not to lose sleep over the rise in oil prices is that, unlike the rises in the 1970s, it has not occurred against the background of general commodity price inflation and global excess demand. A sizable portion of the world is only just emerging from economic decline. The Economist's commodity price index is broadly unchanging from a year ago. In 1973, commodity prices jumped by 70%, and in 1979 by almost 30%. Lesson 6, vocabulary. Supreme, harmful, justify, dose, eventually, contend, shield, sufficient, hasten, maintain, prescribe, illegal, acknowledge, debate, agony, academy, volume, aggressive, procedure, prolong, therapy, initiative, extent, constitute, abuse, morphine, homicide, hospice, presumptively.
Passage. The Supreme Court's decision on physician-assisted suicide carry important implications for how medicine seeks to relieve dying patients of pain and suffering. Although it ruled that there is no constitutional right to physician-assisted suicide, the court, in effect, supported the medical principle of double effect, a centuries-old moral principle holding that an action having two effects, a good one that is intended and a harmful one that is foreseen, is permissible if the actor intends only the good effect. Doctors have used that principle in recent years to justify using high doses of morphine to control terminally ill patients' pain, even though increasing dosages will eventually kill the patient. Nancy Dubler, director of Montefiore Medical Center, contends that the principle will shield doctors who, until now, have very, very strongly insisted that they could not give patients sufficient medication to control their pain if that might hasten death. George Annis, chair of the Health Law Department at Boston University, maintains that as long as a doctor prescribes a drug for a legitimate medical purpose, the doctor has done nothing illegal, even if the patient uses the drug to hasten death. It's like surgery, he says. We don't call those deaths homicides because the doctors didn't intend to kill their patients. although they risked their death. If you're a physician, you can risk your patient's suicide as long as you don't intend their suicide. On another level, many in the medical community acknowledge that the assisted suicide debate has been fueled in part by the despair of patients for whom modern medicine has prolonged the physical agony of dying. Just 3 weeks before the court's ruling on physician-assisted suicide, the National Academy of Science, NAS, released a 2-volume report, Approaching Death, Improving Care at the End of Life. It identifies the undertreatment of pain and the aggressive use of ineffectual and forced medical procedures that may prolong and even dishonor the period of dying as the twin problems of end-of-life care. The profession is taking steps to require young doctors to train in hospices, to test knowledge of aggressive pain management therapies, to develop a Medicare billing code for hospital-based care, and to develop new standards for assessing and treating pain at the end of life. Annis says lawyers can play a key role in assisting that these well-meaning medical initiatives translate into better care. Large numbers of physicians seem unconcerned with the pain their patients are needlessly and predictably suffering, to the extent that it constitutes systematic patient abuse. He says medical licensing boards must make it clear that painful deaths are presumptively ones that are incompetently managed and should result in license suspicion. Vocabulary. Technology. Trace. Character.
Nature.
Advanced. Discard. Observe. Obscure. Analyze. Formulate. Recognize.
Interaction.
Assign. Available. Dignity. Illustrate. Possession.
Traditional.
Essential. Responsible. Conduct. Shift. Concerning. Resolve. Accessible. Pre-scientific. Entrench. Autonomous. Passage.
Almost all our major problems involve human behavior, and they cannot be solved by physical and biological technology alone. What is needed is a technology of behavior. But we have been slow to develop the science from which such a technology might be drawn. One difficulty is that almost all of what is called behavioral science continues to trace behavior to states of mind, feelings, traits of character, human nature, and so on. Physics and biology once followed similar practices and advanced only when they discarded them. The behavioral sciences have been slow to change, partly because the explanatory items often seem to be directly observed, and partly because other kinds of explanations have been hard to find. The environment is obviously important, but its role has remained obscure. It does not push or pull, it selects, and this function is difficult to discover and analyze. The role of natural selection in evolution was formulated only a little more than 100 years ago, and the selective role of the environment in shaping and maintaining the behavior of the individual is only beginning to be recognized and studied. As the interaction between organism and environment has come to be understood, however, effects once assigned to states of the mind, feelings, and traits are beginning to be traced to accessible conditions, and a technology of behavior may therefore become available. It will not solve our problems, however, until it replaces traditional pre-scientific views, and these are strongly entrenched. Freedom and dignity illustrate the difficulty. They are the possessions of the autonomous, self-governing man of traditional theory, and they are essential to practices in which a person is held responsible for his conduct and given credit for his achievements. A scientific analysis shifts both the responsibility and the achievement to the environment. It also raises questions concerning values. Who will use a technology and to what ends? Until these issues are resolved, a technology of behavior will continue to be rejected, and with it, possibly the only way to solve our problems. Lesson 7. Vocabulary. Ban. Witness. Involve. Prominent. Trial.
Press.
Draft. Propose. Publicity. Committee. Regulation.
Offer.
Publication. Protest. Privacy, Parliament, Convention, Entitle, Court, Exaggerate, Ensure,
Verdict,
Tightening, Legislation,
Passage. The government is to ban payments to witnesses by newspapers seeking to buy up people involved in prominent cases, such as the trial of Rosemary West. In a significant tightening of legal controls over the press, Lord Irvine, the Lord Chancellor, will introduce a draft bill that will propose making payments to witnesses illegal and will strictly control the amount of publicity that can be given to a case before a trial begins. In a letter to Gerald Kaufman, chairman of the House of Commons Media Select Committee, Lord Irvine said he agreed with a committee report this year, which said that self-regulation did not offer sufficient control. Publication of the letter came 2 days after Lord Irvine caused a storm of media protest when he said the interpretation of privacy controls contained in European legislation would be left to judges rather than to Parliament. The Lord Chancellor said introduction of the Human Rights Bill, which makes the European Convention on Human Rights legally binding in Britain, laid down that everybody was entitled to privacy and that public figures could go to court to protect themselves and their families. Press freedoms will be in safe hands with our British judges, he said. Witness payments became an issue after West was sentenced to 10 life sentences in 1995. Up to 19 witnesses were said to have received payments for telling their stories to newspapers. Concerns were raised that witnesses might be encouraged to exaggerate their stories in court to ensure guilty verdicts. Vocabulary. Response. Split. Handle. Basis. Series. Distinction. Amateur.
Consequence.
Trend. Obvious. Kingdom. Comparison. Reveal. Emphasis. Constitute. Acceptable. Incorporate. Pursue. Overall. Reinforce. Widespread. Consequence. Specific. Reckon. Crucial. Connotation. Referee. Passage.
Specialization can be seen as a response to the problem of an increasing accumulation of scientific knowledge. By splitting up the subject matter into smaller units, one man could continue to handle the information and use it as the basis for further research. But specialization was only one of a series of related developments in science affecting the process of communication. Another was the growing professionalization of scientific activity. No clear-cut distinction can be drawn between professionals and amateurs in science. Exceptions can be found to any rule. Nevertheless, the word amateur does carry a connotation that the person concerned is not fully integrated into the scientific community and, in particular, may not fully share its values. The growth of specialization in the 19th century, with its consequent requirement of a longer, more complex training, implied greater problems for amateur participation in science. The trend was naturally most obvious in those areas of science based especially on a mathematical or laboratory training, and can be illustrated in terms of the development of geology in the United Kingdom. A comparison of British geological publications over the last century and a half reveals not simply an increasing emphasis on the primacy of research, but also a changing definition of what constitutes an acceptable research paper. Thus, in the 19th century, local geological studies represented worthwhile research in their own right. But in the 20th century, local studies have increasingly become acceptable to professionals only if they incorporate and reflect on the wider geological picture. Amateurs, on the other hand, have continued to pursue local studies in the old way. The overall result has been to make entrance to professional geological journals harder for amateurs, a result that has been reinforced by the widespread introduction of refereeing. First, by national journals in the 19th century, and then by several local geological journals in the 20th century. As a logical consequence of this development, separate journals have now appeared aimed mainly towards either professional or amateur readership. A rather similar process of differentiation has led to professional geologists coming together nationally within one or two specific societies, whereas the amateurs have tended either to remain in local societies or to come together nationally in a different way. Although the process of professionalization and specialization was already well underway in British geology during the 19th century, its full consequences were thus delayed until the 20th century. In science, generally, however, the 19th century must be reckoned as the crucial period for this change in the structure of science.